chapter 1, just for a moment here. John chapter 1, if you'll turn there with me in our pew Bible, that's page 886. Chapter 1, there was a man sent from God, John chapter 1, verse 6, and his name was John, and he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Let's scoot down to verse 19. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed, did not deny, but confessed, "I'm not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" And he says, "I'm not." "Well, are you the prophet from Deuteronomy?" And he says, "No." So they said to him, "Well, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he says, "Oh, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." We went over this last week. Verse 24, "Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, 'Well, then why are you baptizing if you're neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' And John answered, 'Well, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie.' And these things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing." And now for this morning, verse 29. "And the next day he saw Yeshua," Jesus. Now they would say it in the Aramaic and the Hebrew like I just said. Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus, the anointed one. Mashiach is for anointing. And that's the kind of the way they would say it, my best understanding. And he raises his voice and says, "Look, everybody, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'Following me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him.'" Now let's just pause for that. This is fascinating. They come to John, "Well, are you the Messiah?" "No." They don't know who the Messiah is. "Well, John, who's the Messiah?" "Oh, he's coming. And when he gets here, it's going to humble me too. He's just a great, great, great individual." "Well, do you know him?" "No, but I will recognize him because I've been told how to find him, but I don't know him either." Isn't this interesting? You know, here's a man prepared by God to introduce Messiah, but he didn't know who he was introducing either. A lot of ignorance here, right? A lot of ignorance. A lot of ignorance in our world. That's why there's a lot of practicing of things. Lawyers practice law. Doctors practice medicine. There's just a lot of things we don't know. I don't know why, in an empirical world, that it would take 57,000 years to read everything that's on the internet. So you got a lot of interesting information out there. There's still so much ignorance. So much we don't know. I think that in itself would drive us to the Lord every day. We ought to start with this. "Lord, I just want to admit right now I'm ignorant." We should start every morning. Get on our knees and say, "Lord, I think I know a lot. My kids, they think I know more than I did earlier." I know it's worth repeating ad nauseum, and that's what it's going to be. But I love Mark Twain's statement. When he was 17, he thought his dad was the most ignorant man on the face of the planet. And I used to take umbrage to that. I used to think, that's a terrible way to think about your parents. I have to confess, I never thought that way about my dad. I didn't think he was ignorant. I think sometimes he was uncaring, so I had other thoughts. But I never really thought he was ignorant. But Mark Twain goes on, you know the rest of the saying. When I turned 24, within 7 years, he said, "I can't figure out how my dad learned so much in 7 years. Well, we know what was happening. The curves were changing here to where he was discovering how much he didn't know, and he should have listened to his dad all along about certain things. But here we have introduced in the first gospel of John just how much ignorance there is. And of course there is, as we mentioned last week with respect to finding our voice. And we don't want to find a voice that's filled with ignorance, do we? We don't want to act that way. That's ignorant. I'm sorry, but Chris was just acknowledging how he acted ignorant. Is that not true? And I was going to make eye contact with him to let him know I still respect him, but he's gone. So you just let him know that. We do that. We act ignorantly, don't we? We just act. without a knowledge of the facts. Or maybe we do have a knowledge of the facts, but we can't seem to get beyond that where we're at. We're stuck there. But even in this empirical world where we think, and we do, know so much we don't know. Or we know this and we know this, but we can't seem to get them to work. We can't seem to get it to connect, like batteries and alternators and all kinds of things like that. We just can't seem to, or trailer lights or any number of things. I mean trailer lights. Oh, there's one thing that just sends me through the roof. It's having to rework trailer lights. How about that, George? I mean, you'd think, what else can go wrong? It's just simple little connections here. What's going on? They just don't want to shake hands. Well, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. And he's there, he's on the scene, and he's walking with the Lord according to the light that he already has. But part of the light he already has still has not revealed who the... So he knows enough to walk where he's at, but he's ignorant about the rest until God reveals it. That's why we should start every day with an admission, Lord, I'm ignorant. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. There's just so many things we don't know. Now, there's things that God's revealed about himself that are wonderful with respect to our ignorance. First of all, the Lord knows that. I love it in the Psalms, particularly in one of the penitential Psalms, where David acknowledges that the Lord says, don't be like the mule or the horse that need a bit and bridle, or they won't go where you need them to go. They won't even be led where you want to lead them. You've got to yank them and pull them along, the mule and the horse. I think mules and horses do not get on their knees in the morning and admit to their master, I'm ignorant. I think they don't do that. And let's not be like that. Jesus says, however, I will guide you with my eye on you, the way, walk ye in it. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's a wonderful thing. Now, this week, I was feeling really ignorant. I was feeling so ignorant that some of you have to help me out. And so, this week, I was struggling with a number of things. My back's been hurting me, kidneys, liver. I've been praying, taking some herbal supplements, changed my diet, doing other things, stretching, exercising. Laura's been rubbing it. I'm feeling 90% improved. And I thank you all. I had Norm pray with me about 10 days ago. And so I think I'm on the mend, but we'll see what the Lord does. But I was talking to the Lord this week about several things, and I said, Lord, I just need a good word from you. I've been reading your word. I've been studying. I just need a good word. And I saw one of these in my office. And so this week, we had this thing in the reading, and let's see if I can find it. I thought it was like... Yeah, here it is, Saturday. It was yesterday. Was it yesterday? Let's see. The scripture reading, it was. Here we go. So you'll really like this. So I was reading, and I might have read this Friday. I might have jumped the day ahead because I looked at Friday, but my eye went to Saturday. I'm not sure which it was, so Friday or yesterday, Saturday. But here it is, in quotes, and I never really feel this way. Laura can tell you. But it says here at the top, I'm really scared. And I remember looking at that thinking, what? I thought, well, that's interesting. I feel a little down and anxious, so let me just read this. I'm really scared. This was the poignant note a teenager posted to friends on Facebook as she told them of some upcoming medical tests. She was facing hospitalization and a series of procedures in a city 3 hours from home, anxiously waited as doctors tried to discover the source of some serious medical problems she was experiencing. Now, who of us, in youth or even latter years, has not felt similar fears when facing unwanted life events that are truly frightening? And where can we turn for help? What comfort can we find from Scripture to give us courage in these kinds of situations? The reality that God will go with us through our trial can help us to have hope. Isaiah 41:13 tells us, and I quote, "For I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." End quote. Well, I was eating this up. I was thinking, boy, I like this. I'm going to read the rest of it. In addition, God offers indescribable heart-guarding peace when we present our difficulties to him in prayer. And I thought, well, that's true. And I read the reference, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and that stopped me short. And here's why. about 4 weeks. I like memorizing the Word of God. I like memorizing the easy way. What's the easy way to memorize? You read until you really like a verse. You say, man, I like that verse. I should memorize that. Well, as soon as you like a verse, guess what? You got it half memorized already. Because you go tell your friend, I like that verse. It kind of goes like, I think it goes like this. I'm the Lord, I'll hold your hand. I think that's it. You say, where's that found? I think that's Isaiah, maybe 41, but I'm not sure. I got to look it up and memorize it. See, you've already got half of it down. You're getting it because your heart's in it. That's the way is that cheating? Is that a cheating way of memorizing? I think it's brilliant. You can quote me on that. And that's the way I memorize verses. So I was memorizing in Philippians chapter 8 actually. In fact, further than that, but I had a hard time with the lists. Remember, I've shared this with you before. And Philippians 4:8 is a long list, whatever things are. And then you have this 8 things or so in there, and it's like, I never could get that list. So I thought, now I have an advantage that most of you don't have. I can read Hebrew and Greek. And so I thought, well, I'm going to read this in the Greek. Boy, you read something in another language, your mind just starts, I don't know, tweaking stuff and putting stuff together, and I got it. I got it. I got those 8 things. And I thought, wow, I love that. And so I began to expand around those verses and start Philippians 4:4, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. And 5, let your moderation or your patience, epikeis, your gentleness, be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And you go on and on and on with all of this and down through the list. And so I'm reading this and I'm wanting a good word from God. And I'm kind of using it as if God just like speak to me through the daily bread. Maybe it has something good to say for this particular date. And I thought, yeah, that's the way I'm feeling. And then right on the side, today's reading is Philippians 4:4-9. And it just, what hit me is this. Jay already gave you verses. Keep going over those. Keep thinking about it. I gave you something over a month ago. Don't let go of that. It's not like I have to give you something every day, do I? Just work that. Now, if your doctor gives you medication for something, what's he usually say? Here's your medication. I want you to... make sure you take it all. What do? We go home, we feel better after about 5 or 6 days and say, I'm going to save the rest for maybe a year from now when I feel bad again. Right? And then your friend calls you, do you have some of that medication you didn't finish? Yeah, but don't tell anybody. Right? Isn't that foolish? Well, God gave me some medication. Philippians chapter 4:4-8. And then when I wanted to have him encourage me, he reminded me, are you taking all your medication? Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? Many of us want to hear new things all the time from God because we have to admit we're a little ignorant. I think maybe some of our ignorance is that we're a little forgetful. We're forgetful. God's given us all kinds of good things already. And are we taking them like we should? Well, back to this here as we wrap up. He recognizes the Lord Jesus. He's pointed him out. And now notice this. He says, verse 31, I myself did not know him. And yet for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel, to my people. And that tells me something. John, though he didn't have all the facts, was willing to obey the truth that he had. John didn't have all the revelation just as yet, but he was going to obey until he got more. And I want you to get this. Walking by faith is not necessarily seeing around the bend in the road. It's not even necessarily seeing where you're going to end up. Walking in faith is walking in the light that you have when? Right now. And it's I think, a good thing for us to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm ignorant, but I'm not totally ignorant. Does that say faith saving? No, we're not trying to save face. We're trying to save because you've already given me some things. And I want to walk in the light you've given me. In your light, we see light. Jesus said to the nation months later, he says, don't you think because you have some light that you can go further. If you don't walk in the light you have, even what you think you have will be taken from you. That's why some of the most profane and truly ignorant people that we know are believers that aren't walking with the Lord. Boy, they can act really ignorant, can't they? Believers that aren't walking with the Lord, they're just trouble because they think they've got light, but they're not walking in it. And the light that they think they have is slowly going out. They just need to get recharged, revitalized. Walk in the light while you have the light. While you have the light. John had enough light and he obeyed the Lord with the light that he had. And what does God do? He gives you more light. And he knows when to do it. And he knows what to give you. He does. And here we have the Lord Jesus revealed to John. And John says this. John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove. It remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have borne witness. This is the Son of God. Here's a man who walked in the light that he had. God gave him more light, and he was excited to see what God would reveal next. And we do have dark and cloudy days. We have difficult times. But we have someone who's the light of this world, and he's come to shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of God. And if we walk in what we have and we hold tight to Jesus, he will direct us day by day. No matter how ignorant we feel, we might as well just let the Lord know. And then go back and center ourselves in what he's already given us. And then he'll give us more. He'll do it. But we should walk in what we've got. Walk with the King today in what you've got. John did. I'm so glad he did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We are encouraged by it. I am. And I'm going to be meditating on verses that you've given me over the years. I have already. And I thank you for reminding me. It was pretty cool, Lord. And just to have you there and kind of use the daily bread to remind me. Jay, I gave you a nice slab, big plate there filled with good spiritual food. And you've been eating on it, but you needed to get back to it. You weren't done. You hadn't finished your regimen. And I thank you for it. I thank you for the command, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for that promise. What a great promise. And there's so many other medicinal verses and promises for us. And we just want to humble ourselves and acknowledge that even when we have your word, we're not always sure how to implement it. We run ahead of you at times or lag behind, or we are bald about the whole thing, harsh, firm, we're too aggressive. Or other times, Lord, we're too sheepish, and we just need your grace. We thank you that the Holy Spirit was given to us as members of the body of Christ. We each have him, and we may be filled with him. And we thank you that your Son, the Lord Jesus, was pleased to exemplify for us. He's our exemplar. He gives us an example of how to walk with you in that he himself did not exercise his prerogatives as the second person of the Trinity, but was utterly dependent upon your grace and your Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who descended upon him so that he might fulfill his Holy Spirit has descended upon us that we might fulfill our mission, that we might find our voice, that we might be able to implement your word on a daily basis. Oh Lord, thank you that you've given us every piece of equipment and you know us through and through and you're patient with us as we put on the armor of light